but you're not paying for the bills of those that you said, do your civic duty, take this experimental ingredient, and if you become paralyzed or dead or accrue hundreds of thousands of dollars in bills, there's nobody there to pay that bill. Nobody's taking care of your family now that you can't work or maybe on permanent disability. If you know they're going to put those people through the ringer. You know, it takes about 3 years to get disability. The fact that nobody will ever admit that the vaccine maimed them, these people, they're screwed. And they did it because their government told them that it's their duty to do it. They took it. And that's it. Their ass out.
Well,
very strange situation. In one case, if you know, whatever, if you got it, okay, all of the PCR tests were free, right? All the testing was free. The vaccines are free. Something is good for you, it ain't free. It's a lot of money.
Well, here's the rub with that. I mean, I remember that. I think it was like around March, maybe around St. Patrick's Day where Trump said that, first said that. But the reality since then is health insurers and medical systems, they didn't waive any fees for people. And the government, who have they? They haven't reimbursed people personally for...
Well, no. Back then, they did. The insurance companies put a halt on co-payments, like things like that. You were getting the telemed was free. So if you needed to see your doctor during the shutdown, all of that, they weren't even able to charge for, I don't think. But it was the fact that it was a very quick... It's not... Okay, how can I word this? If you have a virus that is a pandemic that is naturally occurring, it's no one's fault. Why would you say this is not the American people's fault? That means it's somebody's fault.
But his... I agree with you.
Whose fault is it?
He was debriefed. I said this week, he was debriefed on the same stuff we talked about in March 2020 on this podcast, where I said, yeah, the government fucking has a role in this. These guys were fucking around. They were fucking around. And it goes all the way from Harvard University. It goes to Wuhan Lab. And of course, Fauci, we knew at the time, was suspect number one, so to speak. Definitely a person of interest, as federal law enforcement would say. But he went from that. Trump went from hearing that, just as we heard it, because I know exactly who he spoke to and what was said, because I said it, and it checks out. You know, it stood up to the test of time, which is the most important when it comes to intel. And then a couple of days ago, he said, yeah, I think it was just incompetence. It was a leak. And it's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
And it was a girlfriend, and they were out to lunch. I mean, see, when I hear shit like that, I just tune out. I totally tune out. It's like, I can't even listen to this.
Because he's losing his touch, too, because he's usually pretty good at selling stuff. That wasn't selling at all. He wasn't even believing it.
Exactly. Well, I can't. I like when he goes, well, I can't talk about that.
I can't talk about it because people would get mad at me. Oh, okay.
No, but I'll never forget. I think that was the first thing that stood out in my mind when it's like a frying pan in the face. And it's not the American people's fault. And I'm thinking, why would it be anybody's fault? Virus. Pandemic. What are you talking about? And of course, never got an answer. But I was a little bit fortunate. Like, I smelled bullshit from January and was watching it closely from January for other reasons, political reasons. And then lucky enough to have a friend that's a scientist that told me very early on that it was crap and bullshit and, you know, and I felt good at that point. I said, okay, on the right track and not going to give into this thing. And I didn't. So served me well from then. And I just stayed the course. But I'll never forget those words, not the American people's fault. Okay. Whose fault is it then?
Yeah. Well, don't worry. What Trump did do is he made sure that right before he left office, a couple of days before he left office, I remember, he made sure that that folks on Medicare and Medicare Advantage, that they would not have to pay anything for their COVID-19 vaccines. And their
That's right. But nobody is. They're free to everybody.
Well, that they wouldn't have to pay any co-payments and any deductible would be waived because it's such a fantastic vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Operation Warp Speed.
Trump said that. I just looked it up. Trump administration says it will pay hospitals also for treating uninsured COVID-19 patients. That was April 22nd, 2020. So he said, don't worry about it. If you don't have insurance, we're going to pay for that too. If you got COVID. Yeah. Yep. And and then you wonder, gee, I wonder why these hospitals are labeling everybody as COVID. Because.
Oh, we know why.
Alex Azar came in. Yeah. Health and Human Services said, you just won the lottery.
Yeah. They're still doing it.
Yeah, they are. And guess what? There's no audit. In other words, there's no official. We talked to people in the FDA, and they're very versed. There's no official audit where if the healthcare providers lied, that they somebody comes in and says, hey, you lied, you owe us money. No, no, no. It's just, whatever. Well, you know, at the time, it's the fog of war. Mm-hmm. We can't blame these people for defrauding the government. Can't make it up.
Right. And then that's why we were talking about a while ago about the codes. Like, man, we could really dig in and say, gee, when did they create the ICD-10 codes or the CPT diagnostic? Like, when was this stuff really in the works? Like, it didn't materialize overnight.
A lot of money involved, dear lady.
Oh, I know. I know it.
You know, when a hospital says, think about this, the debate for 2 or 3 decades has been, well, we can't afford to treat folks who are not insured. And when a hospital flips a switch and says, sure, come on in with your deadly disease, whether you have insurance or not, we'll take you. And then you know that the skids have been greased.
Mm-hmm.
Come all. You know what I'm saying? It's like, wait a minute. You guys have been bitching for 20 years now that folks can't walk into an ER if they don't have insurance. And now all of a sudden with a pandemic, supposed pandemic,
you say, come on in.
Yeah, we got you.
Right. But after they say we need to shut down the country so we don't overwhelm the hospitals, then they knew the fear factor would push the people into the hospital.
And what happens when you get pushed into the hospitals and you don't have insurance? You might not be coming back out. Or
that's right.
You come out feet first with a tag on your toe.
Yeah, you're getting all kind of nice codes attached to your file. Yeah, that's the name of the game. And they played it well and they're still playing it. This is far from over.
No, and they need at least, there's no
they need
fucking
at least
way
another
this is
year.
Over. This is no way this is over.
But think about it. The SPARS pandemic was a 3-year simulation. In their simulation, it was a 3-year period.
Well, we're in year 2.
That's right. And we're going to head into year 3. Now, it wasn't until the next simulation, Claydex, which that's the one that I picked up in part 4. The country was in such horrible shape. Unemployment would have been higher because so many people died. I guess unemployment looked good. But we were in nationalized healthcare. And we know that's part of the goal. Because if they restructure the whole medical system, you have gig workers and you have, they're going to move. I mean, it's already in the works. They're going to move towards these AI, telemed, way of doing medicine. It's going to be one size fits all and nationalized. That was the goal. And then wait to see what they do with law enforcement, reimagining law enforcement and everything. Every profession that you could think of has a target on its back for being reshaped.
It's wild. It's wild, and it's disturbing that it's played out much like the kaleidoscope we looked at through a complicated kaleidoscope we looked at in early 2020, and it's I don't know. You know what's even more frustrating to me is that stuff we talked about 16, 17, 18 months ago. You imagine if we had a big ass platform, we probably would have been shut. We probably would have been shut down.
Well, it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Wouldn't work.
Yeah. But think about the people who have the big massive platforms. They're on topics like
they've not touched it.
They're on like month two or month three topics from 2020. I'm like, where are you guys? What?
But those big platforms are still making people think politics can get us out of these things. They're not talking about the real elephants in the room.
You wait till 2022 when we flip the house. You wait.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, nobody's talking about these things.
I'm not going to make it to November of 2022.
I did hear a few of them talking about the banking issue and monetizing the debt and things like that. So they're talking about that, but see, they don't. They talk about the problem, but they don't talk about what's behind the problem.
Right.
They don't educate their audience on why this is being done and who's responsible for it being done. That is what has always been missing from mainstream media and terrestrial radio. They only take their people so far. And then they create the fake outrage and get everybody all lathered up in a frenzy, but they still don't know why they're lathered up in a frenzy. Because nobody's teaching them what's behind. Like I told you about the podcast that I listened to that I really like, The Lawyer. And he rips the constitutional conservatives, the constitutional talk show hosts, rips them because he's like, they are lying to you.
Mark Levin! Is that what you're talking about?
That's, well, the guy that I listen to rips Mark Levin.
Yes, I'm talking about.
He rips him apart because he
it's and outrageous. He's so, Mark Levin.
Yeah.
Okay, and, Mark. Thanks for writing another book. You're helping me out here.
So, right. So all of the non-lawyers listening to the show or the non-constitutionalist regular people, they think that what they're getting is truth, but it's you know, you're not a lawyer, you know, you listen to that and you go, okay, well, if Mark's outraged about it, then I should be outraged about it too, because he's smarter than I am and he's a constitutional lawyer, so he must know what he's talking about. I don't know what I'm talking about.
So last time he filed a lawsuit, that's what I've said a lot of people, right. What's the last lawsuit he filed?
Yeah. Right. So these are the things. So you get somebody else that picks it apart down to the bones or tells you that there's no mechanism to, like when somebody's trying to sell you something, like with a pillow code, that there's really no constitutional mechanism to have these things happen. You know, he's laughing. He's laughing. He's like, these people are stringing you along.
Yeah, and it's true. We said that after the election, we had a VM on, and VM said, just everybody, get your head out of the sand. These lawsuits are going nowhere. They're garbage. They're not even good lawsuits.
They've moved the goalpost again. Mike Lindell says by Thanksgiving, Trump should be taking office. That was, I saw that somewhere today.
He's going to take office in Thanksgiving. Okay.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You cannot make it up.
I have to be honest with you, it's gotten to the point where it's almost like cruelty to the people that are stupid enough or perhaps not not intellectually woke enough to keep following these people. It's actually gotten to the point where it's cruel. I mean, it's sad and it's cruel, I think.
That's no, you're right. But again, these are the same people. We could not protect them from themselves since 2017. They didn't want to be protected. They want to believe in what they believe in, and they still are. And they still are attending conferences. But there's lots of them. There's lots of money making
conferences. I saw one this weekend, from this past weekend, and they were in a big church. And there was a lot of people there. Not like the kind of churches perhaps you've gone to or I've gone to. Like one of these new age churches. It looks like an auditorium. And they had a couple of MAGA folks there, and they were it was scary. It was
it's very scary.
They had a guy up there. I'm not even going to say who it is because it's not fucking worth it. I don't want to hear any bullshit from these fucking droids. But he was up there reciting something, a prayer, and the people, he said, repeat after me. And they were repeating after him. And I'm like, who's he praying to? And I did all this research, and I'm saying, that's not a Christian prayer, man. He's dropping stuff about, like, you know, he's dropping some satanic themes. And they're like, Maria, they were like, and repeating after him. I would have been the guy in the back to say, hey, who the fuck, what the fuck are you talking about? But these people were like, they were zombies. I would have been the guy. They take me out like, get him. Get him. We got somebody here with a brain. Get him. Swarm. But he was talking about, it was fucked up. And I'm like, this is not a Christian prayer, man. And if these people think they're praying.
There's a lot of scary stuff.
And they were just like droids because, oh, he's, you know, he's a MAGA hero. It's like, dude, wake up. Wake up. It's scary.
I don't think they will. I don't think they will. Not until everything, either the shills disappear, finally close up shop. But now there's still people dug in. Now I don't get to see them all the time because I'm not on their social media platforms. Thank God. But people will send me screenshots of things because I talk to a lot of people that come from the 2015, 16, 17, lots of people that attended the Plura Ball. A lot of people from that circle I still talk to, and all day and night I'll get screenshots or articles or what do you think of this and what do you think of that. And so those people are plugged in, and they know my main thing is the schemedemic. That's the main thing I focus on. But I do get to see what these shills are saying in other rooms and what they're doing. And sadly, they still have a pretty big base, and they know this base will continue to give money. And they will give money to politicians, and they will give money to the conferences, and they will buy the merchandise.
Maria, it wasn't cheap to get into this fucking thing. I was watching. I said, what? People are paying for that? And then they're standing there reciting things. You know what that reminded me of? No, I wasn't there, of course, but I've read about it extensively. It was like a modern Jonestown.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing missing
you're right.
The only thing missing was a big like Gatorade cooler of poison. And they were just going to walk up single file and just take the Kool-Aid. It's like, take the Flavor-Aid. I'm like, it was beyond creepy. Beyond creepy.
You are 100% right. I watched, I forget which one it was. It was the one that actor was at. Oh, yeah. Oh, what the heck is his name?
I'll look it up. I know what you're talking about.
Jim? Carswell. He played Christ.
I got it here somewhere.
Right. Anyway,
Jim.
He was even scary.
Jim
gave a speech.
Jim Caviezel.
There you go.
Yeah.
He even scared the pants off me. He was just like, it was. These things are very hard to watch because these are true believers. These people. All you have to do is hook them with God, and you got them. You got them. You got their open pocketbook. These people have gotten rich on selling hopium through God, hopes and prayers.
Well, they link it. They link it to religion. There's no doubt. But here's my thing. This had nothing to do with God. This was like outer limits, fucking satanic occult references, and these people were just chanting it. I'm like, wait a minute, and you guys paid to be here. It's,
yeah, because they believe a higher power has their hands on Lindell and all of these people. This is what they believe. They believe that they're going to, in the end, win because the hand of God or higher power is going to fix this for them. And this is why they built, again, military-grade psychological weaponry. This is how you build a complacent society, because when all things fail, there's always God. He'll fix it.
Dangerous, dangerous stuff.
Very.
Big time.
Very so dangerous.
So we'll conclude this episode of Your Crumbling Country and Your Constitution.
That's a good one. That was good.
Dish rag Constitution and Crumbling Country weekly episode.
I'm sorry, everybody. By Friday, I'm very sour.
No, but I mean, it is. It's indicative of the reality. We want to be real here. We have to call it like it is. And, you know, trying to make people feel all warm and fuzzy. Those days are over. We're way out of the warm and fuzzy.
I really do think the people that listen to your show become more empowered. Gives them more.
That's the
more
whole point.
Fight. Yeah.
You have to know. You have to know this stuff. That's what people say. What are we supposed to do about it?
I think they're doing great. When I see some of the people on Pain TV or the, you know, direct messages I get, these people are proactive. They are making moves and doing the things. It's amazing. It makes me happy. All the mail I get makes me happy. Everybody is just wonderful.
Well, we'll keep it going, and we'll have you back on. And as people want to find you on Twitter. Where do they go?
At the number one Citizen Pundit.
And then if you're on
Pain TV, it's Maria.Albanese.
Right. And we appreciate your time and your insights and helping our folks and our listeners and our viewers get woke. I threw that in.
I love them.
Good. We need to get woke. Everybody's woke. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Every week I'll try to dig up a little something more until I have my own staff of young bucks that can hand it to me.
Well, you know, these guys are.
God love them. They're great.
They came in at the last minute with that phone call. That was smooth.
That was awesome. I can't wait to put that out and get that out. And I mean, you could just hear it in his voice. It's
not good.
Get out there.
It's not good. So we'll focus on getting that out as well. And we appreciate it. Until next time.
All right. Thank you, dear.
I'll see you.
Bye.
All right, bye.
I want to tell you a story about the house went blue. I come home one Friday. Had to tell the landlady I done lost my job. She said, that don't confront me. Long as I get my money next Friday. Now next Friday I come, I didn't get the rent. And out the door I went. So I goes to the landlady. I said, you let me slide. I have the rent for it tomorrow, the next day I don't know. So let me slide it on, you know, people. I notice when I come home in the evening, she ain't got nothing nice to say to me. But for 5 years, she was so nice. Lord, she would love it, love it. I come home one particular evening. The landlady said, you got the rent money yet? I said, no. Can't find no job, therefore I ain't got no money to pay the rent. She said, I don't believe you're trying to find no job. Said, I seen you today, you were standing on a corner, leaning up against a post. I said, but I'm tired. I've been walking all day. She said, that don't confront me. Long as I get my money next Friday. Now next Friday I come out, I didn't have a rent. And out the door I went. So I go down the street, down to my good friend's house. I said, look, man, I'm outdoors, you know. Can I stay with you maybe a couple days? He said, let me go and ask my wife. He come out of the house, I could see in his face. I know there was no. He said, I don't know, man. She kind of funny, you know. I said, I know. Everybody funny. Now you for that too. So I go back home. I tell the landlady, I got a job. I'm gonna pay the rent. She said, yeah. I said, oh yeah. And then she was so nice. Lord, she was lovey-dovey. So I go in my room, pack up my things, and I go. I slip on out the back door. I'm down the streets I go. She hollering about the front rent. She'll be lucky to get in the back rent. She ain't gonna get none of it. So I stop in the local bar, you know, people. I go to the bar, I rent my coat, I call a bartender. I said, look, man, come down here. He got down there, so what you want? One bourbon, one scotch, one beer. Well, I ain't seen my baby since I don't know when. I've been drinking bourbon, whiskey, scotch and gin. Gonna get high, man, I'm gonna get loose. Need me a triple shot of that juice. Gonna get drunk, don't you have no fear. I want one bourbon, one scotch, one beer. One bourbon, one scotch, one beer. But I'm sitting out at the bar. I'm getting drunk, I'm feeling mellow. I'm drinking bourbon, I'm drinking scotch, I'm drinking beer. Look down the bar, here comes the bartender. Just look mad. Come down here. So what you want? No one bourbon, one scotch, one beer. No, I ain't seen my baby since the night before last. Gotta get a drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Need me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here. I want one bourbon, one shot, one beer. One bourbon, one scotch, one beer. Well, all right. We'll be right back. You know when your mouth is getting dry, you're plenty high. I look down the bar, I see to my bartender. I said, look, man, come down here. You got down there, so what you want this time? I said, look, man, what time is it? He said, the clock on the wall said 3 o'clock. A last call for alcohol. So what you need? One bourbon, one scotch, one beer. But I ain't seen my baby since a night on a week. Gotta get drunk, man, so I can't even speak. Gonna get high, man, listen to me. One drink ain't enough, Jack, you better make it three. Gonna get drunk, I'm gonna make it real clear. I want one bourbon, one scotch, one beer. One bourbon, one scotch, one beer.
Reported at that time that you had a number of meetings with Jeffrey Epstein, who, when you met him 10 years ago, he was convicted of soliciting prostitution from minors. What did you know about him when you were meeting with him, as you've said yourself, in the hopes of raising money?
You know, I had dinners with him. I regret doing that. He had relationships with people he said, you know, would give to global health, which is a interest I have. You know, not nearly enough philanthropy goes in that direction. You know, those meetings were a mistake. They didn't result in what he purported, and I cut them off. You know, that goes back a long time ago now. There's, you know, so there's nothing new on that.
It was reported that you continue to meet with him over several years, and that, in other words, a number of meetings. What did you do when you found out about his background?
Well, and, you know, I've said I regretted having those dinners, and there's nothing, absolutely nothing new on that.
Is there a lesson for you, for anyone else looking at this?
Well, he's dead. So, you know, in general, you always have to be careful. And, you know, I'm very proud of what we've done in philanthropy, very proud of the work of the foundation. You know, that's what I get up every day and focus on.